Riverside Reflections was a weekend of workshops held by Inishowen Rivers Trust for adults and for children, exploring and remembering their local river. I'm here in Glencrow Hall with Kathleen O'Hara Farn. And Kathleen is here as part of the Riverside Reflections workshops that we're holding here today for children. This workshop is to acquaint children with ideas to do with rivers and waters. Kathleen and Brendan are going to look at the artistic connections between rivers, water, music and art. I'm delighted here to be with you, Kathleen. Maybe you could tell us about a song that you have which is connected with rivers.
Water is so inspiring. It brings music to me, and I think it brings music to the children because they can laugh and sing as they go along the river. It resonates. So here's one that I composed for the Inishowen Rivers Trust, and it means, in English, it means, water has knowledge, so listen to the water and remember this. Ta ole sheganishka kwevni. Ta ole sheganishka kwevni. Ta ole sheganishka kwevni. Ta ole sheganishka kwevni. Kwevni lat. Ta ole sheganishka kwevni. Kwevni lat. Shaganishka Kwevni, Kwevni, Kwevni.
Kathleen, you've obviously been interested in rivers for a long time and the whole connection with water and art and how that influences life. Was that something that went back to your own childhood?
Well, you know, when you go swimming and you go swimming in an outdoor place or even paddling in a river, those moments are very special in my childhood, and they are what you call inspiring. And when something's inspiring, it's like you breathe it in and you sort of smile it out. So yes, that's the sort of creative connection for me, is how I feel when I'm around water and when the water's running and when I'm drinking it from a well. And it's the liveliness that it brings that makes me want to express myself through any form of art, be it music or painting or weaving, whatever I have to hand is my connection with water.
Looking at education and workshops like this for children, is this type of activity, is this common in modern education, or is that something that we're losing?
Oh, well, you know, there's research on that, but the children know. The children know what speaks to them directly, and that's playing outside in a forest, running along a river. It's the pure education of integrating the elements of nature that are timeless and ever abundant and ever giving. So I don't know about mainstream education because I'm a homeschool mum, but I do know that children love it and it brings them to life. It's really important. And the reverence that goes with it is something that I'd love for the children to acknowledge that they're experiencing, that when they're with water, that they feel good and they know they feel good. And this is important these days.
I'm here with Brendan Farn, who is one of the facilitators on today's workshop. Brendan will be looking at basket making and other art activities. Brendan, maybe could you tell me what you're going to be doing with the children here today?
I'm going to be getting the children to think about rivers, and maybe we're going to create a river on the floor of the hall here with painted shells. And as we're creating the river, we're going to talk about maybe their memories or any ideas about the river they have, and maybe sing a song about the river and just try to get them to think about rivers in general and the rivers in their community and how important they are and how relevant they are.
And like, as an artist in the area, would you find that the rivers and the whole water environment is an inspirational thing to you?
I find living close to the sea always inspires me, really, to the colours and the sounds and the smells of the river and the sea. And then, of course, the importance of them for our water quality and so on. Yeah.
Kathleen has an amazing collection of instruments which create sounds which are trying to inspire ideas of the river and sea landscapes. Maybe you could tell us about some of the instruments that you have here.
So these are shells, and when the shells land on the ground and the children are making the river, it makes this sound which is really nice to the ears. All these natural sounds are easy on the ears. And wood is another thing we have instruments. Can you imagine, like, river water running? So all this is an awareness, and you get to feel it in your body, hear it through your ears, all your senses are involved. And the next time you go to the water, you have a stronger connection.
Well, I think when you're listening to those sounds, you can actually begin to hear how the natural world inspired people to make instruments as well. And things like shells and wooden blocks, the sounds often sound like the natural sounds. Would you notice things like that yourself?
Do you know what's the best is when you're out amongst trees and by a river and you're singing? There's nothing like it. Even not singing words, but just making a sound of a hum. And it's really good for the nervous system as well to hum a lot. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to have a little natural orchestra here. I'm here with Liz Doherty from Inishowen Rivers Trust, and Liz is one of the main organisers behind these events. Maybe, Liz, you can tell me what the Rivers Trust is hoping to get from these events.
Part of our mission will be education, so the whole point of these events for us will be to try and connect with the children, try and create core memories, encourage them to think about the rivers, and then you wait for that seed to grow, and hopefully in years to come you'll have created somebody who's interested in ecology and interested in the environment. But for it's about planting seeds and waiting for the seeds to grow and educating the young, even at the youngest level, 3, 4 and 5. Those memories will stay forever, because I remember being in the rivers, I remember paddling and making dams and seeing what happens. And that's what it's all about, to try and plant the seeds.
And this weekend is kind of combining sort of artistic ideas, like creativity through music and basket making and just generally working with your hands. Do you think that combination of almost bringing the creative and the scientific together is an important or worthwhile endeavour?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you think back years ago, you go back maybe 2 generations, how the old people would have cut down a tree and thrown it across the river. What they were doing was creating a leaky dam. So that knowledge has been lost in the last 2 generations. So it's like use the scientific, but use the social history as well. The old people didn't do things for no reason, because every resource was really valuable. So why did they do that? There was always a reason. So it's to try and tease out all them stories and discover why, and the impact that it would have had on the environment, the positive impact back then, maybe not so positive now, you know, which is, it's the balance between the scientific and the social and the folklore.
Yeah, because I think recently there has been a kind of a disconnect, often at school, where someone who's interested in science is automatically assumed you wouldn't be interested in art or music. Yeah. But actually, it's often quite the opposite.
No, definitely. I mean, where would we be without our poets? Do you know, and speaking of the rivers and the effect that it has on your life, and, you know, that again inspires and plants the seed in the love of the land, which I think is in the Irish an awful lot. But it's, you know, there's room for everybody, absolutely. Everybody needs water. Everybody needs the rivers, and the rivers are the veins of the country. And people need to realise that we have to protect them. And if everybody took ownership of their little section and their townland, we'd be flying.
And Rivers, Inishowen Rivers Trust has been doing a lot of outreach into the community. And are you beginning to see benefits from that? Or is there a better engagement from people with things to do with the rivers?
No, I think definitely, like, especially with the education, it's definitely having an impact. Definitely, where people who would be, say, careless are much, much less so. So it is working. It is definitely working. But we've a long way to go yet. Like, and I think, too, the more ownership people have. So, you know, like, their wee section of the river, if they got involved through Citizen Science or the Big River Watch, you know, you can start to monitor your wee section and how is it doing, and you could start seeing positive impacts then if you were changing anything.
We have two amazing concertina players here today. Could you introduce yourselves, please?
My name's Aaron Lafferty.
My name's Una MacGyver.
Have you both been playing concertina for long?
I've been playing for about 6 years now.
I've been playing for a little bit longer, I think 7 or 8, maybe.
And could you give us a tune? Would you be familiar with things to do with rivers?
I definitely would. My mum has worked with rivers for a long, long time, so I've been around them my whole life, pretty much.
Would the rivers in any way inspire your music?
I think a lot of inspiration can be gathered from rivers, not just musically. I think with everything, with art, with music, with even if you're just trying to come up with a solution to a simple problem. I think just seeing how naturally the river deals with all the obstacles that it comes across, it just kind of gives you that inspiration to move past obstacles in your life.
Lots more trees.
We're getting into water, but not getting wet. Everybody's hands are full of chalk, and they're rubbing these stones to make the colours of the water and the landscape spread and be flowing as possible. So everybody's working for... Yours is really yellow and bright, isn't it? Do you like it?
Sea was a deep colour.
What's your name, sorry?
Francesco.
Francesco?
Yep.
Could you describe what you're doing?
Right now I'm just drawing the sea. Now I'm going to try and draw the beach.
The sea is two colours, three colours. It's like a blue, and then underneath it's a deeper purple. Well, obviously, like, have you been in the ocean this summer at all? Or a river?
I've been on the beach.
On the beach. Did you see any dolphins?
Nope.
No, sometimes you see dolphins and jellyfish. And if you're really lucky, basking sharks.
I think only one.
And beach last day.
So, like, on one beach, we decided not to go in the water because we found, like, 10 jellyfish on the sand. Yeah, let's not go in the water.
And you got rocks. And when you're at the ocean, you can collect shells. And some of the shells live on the rocks.
We got crabs last day.
Can you walk like a crab?
Yeah.
And you go like this. And you go sideways. Oh, you know, you've been to sort of circus school or something. Crabs, well, some very good gymnastic people
can only walk sideways.
Sideways, I wonder why.
And what's your name?
Rasha.
And what are you doing there today? Are you drawing or colouring?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you see, she's ready to go outside. So have you been down to the river recently, or do you go down to the river, Breda? Or we'll have to take you down?
I've only been down to the river when I'm like at Derry.
In Derry, there's good river walks. And there's also flowers, and sometimes the flowers make nice juice. If you're ever so lucky, you can get elderflowers and make juice in the summertime.
Oh my God.
Lots more trees.
Oh, yes. Hello, my little friend. Please don't be afraid. We don't want to hurt you.
It just wants somewhere to live, doesn't it? Maybe you could sell it inside.
Yeah, this is a song that I got at a summer camp with Nakomo and a few years ago. And it's a beautiful song to sing over and over again with a choir or just on your own.
I am a river flowing through the ocean.
I am a river passing through this land. I am a river flowing to the ocean. I am a river passing through this land. Flow like a river, flow like a river, flow like a river, passing through this land.
Okay, we're here in Clonmany today in the Market House. The second event of the weekend is taking place. And just before the event here, I'm having a chat with John Molden, who is one of the participants today. And John specialises in traditional songs. And today, I think he's going to be dealing with songs which are to do with the river.
Yes. In fact, there aren't that many songs, but there are several songs, three to be precise, that I'll be featuring that mention either somewhat or actually at length Clonmany River. The first of them is actually called Where Clonmany River Flows, and it has never possibly been heard before in some tens of years, because it was sent to me by a guy called Hugh Masterson from Bannockburn in Scotland, who has connections in this area. His wife is from this area. And she got it from a relative. Clonmany River flows. It goes into great detail about the whole length of the river until, in fact, it joins the sea and heads round into Lough Swilly and by Dunree. That's one song. The other two are relatively common, in that one is Dark in the Shone, which is very well known, but the local version is very much more detailed topographically than the one which is quite often sung, which was rewritten in America in about 1940. And the third song is locally written and locally sung, called The Evergreen, written by Charlie Harkin from Mundoran, who was living in the, certainly around 1957, because his grandson, Michael James Onn, well-known singer, heard it from him in 1957, and he, Michael McGonigal, sings it. But it was written about what was then a rarity in either the Valley of Clunchar, or the Valley of the Clunchar River, or anywhere else much in Inishowen, and that was an evergreen tree.
And in the spot amongst the rocks I spy the evergreen.
The song says they are few and far between, and it gives us an idea of just how much our landscape has changed in the relatively recent past, in the last 100 years, in fact. From conifers are now extremely common. They clothe the lower hills of any mountain range. And of course, we're now wakening up to the fact that they are not actually that ecologically or topographically friendly, because in fact they lead to some extent to landslips. So this was a rarity, and they're great songs, and I have the two which are known in the area are sung by two of the finest singers, Dennis McDade and Dennis McGonigal.
And in you would be an expert on the song tradition throughout Ireland and even further afield. Are rivers and nature, are they common themes, or do they crop up commonly in songs in general?
Not that much in English. In Irish, I believe so. But there is a tendency in most Irish songs in English that praise a girl or praise a place or regret leaving a place, that they all of them say that in the place where I come from are the most beautiful scenes, the strongest men, the most intelligent women, and of course the bonniest.
Okay, well, it's just before the event starts here, and I'm with Marie Turner-Doherty, who's one of the main people behind Clonmany Genealogy. Marie, what does Clonmany Genealogy do?
We run the group Clonmany Genealogy and Heritage Group. We try to help people find their roots. So if we have the information and people come to us, we help them to start maybe a family tree or connect with cousins in Inishowen. It's mostly Inishowen we work with. Then a couple of years ago, we decided then to take in the heritage too as well. So that's why the name change was on the group. So we took in a few people who were really interested in the history of Clonmany and Inishowen. So now Hugh Farn would do wee history walks for us, for exhibitions, and everything we do, you know, we don't charge for anything. We might have a wee donation box for our exhibitions. It's all self-funded, so we maybe in the future we'll be looking for money, but now at the minute we're not. And we have a great group that works together. We run 2 to 3 very successful exhibitions every year.
I've seen your exhibitions at the Seamus Grant weekend,
yes,
and also I think at the singing weekend, the, yes, traditional singers. So there's actually a great crossover between studying the heritage and the local culture, isn't there?
We love to work with different groups. We've reached out to a whole lot of groups over the last few years, and we all work together and exchange information. And you know, sometimes I might share something on our Facebook page, Clonmany Genealogy and Heritage Group, and some of the other groups will come to me and ask, can we share that? And as long as it's our information and not somebody else's, we can let them share it on their groups.
So at the event today, you're working along with a local environmental group, the Inishowen Rivers Trust. And Inishowen Rivers Trust have done a lot of work in the area, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a great initiative to clean up the rivers and hopefully get fish back into it and have it clean for the environment. This is something totally different for us. So we're hoping that people will enjoy the wee bit that we add into it.
We fished off for years and years, actually, and then in the summertime, we fished the Clea Brook. Does anybody know where the Clea Brook is? It's between the chapel and the centre there. The brook comes down there. And that was full of big brown trout. Big as hair, you know. And we used to catch them with our hands. But their heads a
little. What year was that? Oh, what year you would do this? That was the 50s? Or?
That was the mid-50s.
Yeah.
So we had great fun there. And then further up the road, down the road, past the garage, first slight turn to your left, and on the right was a big reservoir, and that's what supplied the tank house over in the railway station, and that was full of trout. So how do we catch them? There was a sluice gate.
Does anybody know what they are? Yes.
A sluice gate on the reservoir, and we had to crowbar up. My father had a crowbar, we got the prize up the sluice gate. We had a bag net at the bottom of the sluice gate, so when we got trout, we gathered them up and hung them up. Now, you wouldn't know the reservoirs there because they cleaned the river one time and cut off the supply coming into it, and it all filled up. But it was a great spot. What came after that?
What flies did you use? Could you show the people there?
Well, no, we didn't use it. No, the flies came a lot later.
So the worms?
After the next session after that was sort of at the Black Rocks in Vinion. Does anybody know where the Black Rocks are? Do you know where the river flows onto Sewell, onto the bay at Sewell? About a few hundred yards up, there was a place called the Black Rocks. They're still there. Mm-hmm. But some years, the tide, whatever action, it left holes. And the sea trout came in for the tide. The tide went out, the sea trout stayed. And when they see you coming, they'll put the head under. Do you know what a green kalyanaga is? Mm-hmm. You know the green stuff that grows in the rocks? Mm-hmm. And they'll put the head on onto that, and you just put your two hands on them, yank them out. And a wee aside to that, see where the footbridge is in Vinion now? Well, from that to the mouth of the river was as level as the top of that table. There was no sand, now there's billions of tons of sand there now. It's all shifted from the taller side and from the far side of the river as well. You know. And then, that hot summer, the place was alive with salmon in those days. And that hot summer, the salmon were tending up the river, and people hitting them with sticks and killing them. And then at the same time, Agnes's father and a few other men were down with big long sticks and a snare, and the salmon were coming up along the rock, just yanking them out. That's how plentiful they were in those years, you know.
Phil, there was a newspaper report at that time that in 1 week in the Clamanny River, over 300 salmon were taken in 1 week.
Well, I heard my father going to listen saying, I don't remember it, that at the same Black Rocks one time they pulled the net and took over 200 salmon.
Okay, I'm here with Claire Thompson, the chairperson of the Inishowen Rivers Trust. Claire, how did the Inishowen Rivers Trust start? And like, what was the impetus behind the formation of their trust?
We had a small community group called Celebrate Water, which was largely based in Maville. And following the success of that group, a small group of us got together to decide to expand on what we were doing. And in 2016, we formally formed the Inishowen Rivers Trust. And we're doing a lot of work to basically protect and restore the rivers and the natural water bodies of the Inishowen area.
It's a new departure, isn't it, to be looking at the culture and art as part of that process. Do you think is that important as a way to communicate to people about the importance of rivers?
Yes, one of the things that we found is that in order to get people to become more aware of the river and to educate them on the finer details of, say, the flora and the fauna and the health of the water bodies, it's very important to connect people to the rivers. And arts and music and storytelling are a really valuable tool in order to provide that connection, getting people to talk about the history, the stories that they had alongside of the river, and then particularly children, but adults too, just love the art side of it as well. So that cultural aspect is a really big, valuable piece for us now, yeah.
In the future, do you think that might be rolled out on a wider basis? You can even see from here today, there's a lovely turnout of people here. At the event yesterday, we had children, young children. Today, it would be a much more mature audience. I think it appears to be a great way to communicate and get that message out.
Yes, definitely. It brings in sections of the community that we might not necessarily have seen before. A lot of people are, say, unable to take part in the physical aspects of actually getting in the river and repairing a section of riverbank, and the practical side might not be their bag, but they may well be able to contribute in other ways and learn more in other ways. And so certainly having a broader base of events is a very beneficial thing.
Inishowen Rivers Trust previously recorded local stories about the big flood of August 2017, just over 8 years ago. Excerpts from this film, The Night of the Big Flood, were shown at the workshop, providing a record of what happened that day in Clonmany and serving as a reminder of the power of nature and the impact rivers can have on our lives.
You're down in Binion at the mouth of the Clonmany River. We're actually down in the car park at the bridge that crosses the river. It was like chalk and cheese compared to tonight. Started off a light drizzle kind of in the afternoon, and it just got steadily heavier and heavier. I always remember it was a Tuesday, and by 8 o'clock on the Tuesday night it was just torrential rain, and my phone, I get cut off because the road floods. High tides meeting the flood water coming down the river off the hills. I was getting phone call after phone call after phone call. Are you all right? Are you all right? Can we do anything? And all I could say was, there's nothing you can do because you can't get to me and I can't get to you.
I'm just outside the market house here in Clonmany with Rosemary Molden from Inishowen Rivers Trust. Now, Rosemary, what made Inishowen Rivers Trust do this project?
Well, we have a lot of focus on rivers and the health of the rivers, but we sometimes forget that people's culture and society is kind of connected with rivers, and everything that we do kind of in a way revolves around rivers, and especially to do with like the heritage of our area. If you think in particular that townlands and parishes are divided by rivers, and that the actions high up rivers affect everybody the whole way through, so it actually both divides and unites communities in many ways.
Clonmany River flows through like a lot of the parish, and there's lots of tributaries, but from a heritage point of view, on the banks of it you have Strayed Monastery just down there, so maybe its location beside the river was important.
Historically, monastic sites were always situated near rivers because it was important to have a source of fresh water and also a source of food. And even at the earliest times, from like Mesolithic times in Ireland, because of the dense forestation and land, like rivers provided a channel through the country, and it was also a means of connecting with people and further inland.
And that sort of would be echoed in songs and art as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And there's a lot of songs relating to rivers throughout Ireland, and we've recently discovered a song that was written about Clonmany River, so we'll talk more about that later.
Would this be a new departure, looking at culture and looking at the kind of art and creativity?
Well, I would kind of hope so. My main interest is heritage, and I suppose rivers and the environment would have been kind of always, I would have been aware of it from my line of work in heritage, but never really had much focus on its significance in heritage. But I think it's a way of bringing rivers to the forefront of the heritage world as well, and how the whole thing combines.
Riverside Reflections was a series of workshops held in August 2025 by Inishowen Rivers Trust. The event was made possible with the generous support of the Creative Ireland programme, Donegal County Council, and the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sports and Media.